is. Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this very gorgeous planet we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show, and thank you to all of you who are tuning in for the very first time. Welcome aboard. The Kevin Smith Show is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. Guaranteed. Guaranteed, I said. Hey, you know, this is Friday. It is weekend eve. And this is the night that this is K-Files night. That means that at the close of the show tonight, right after the show, we will begin sending out the K-Files e-zine. And that's our free weekly newsletter. If you have not subscribed, be sure you do. And you do that by just going over to my website, which is kevinsmithshow.com. And you'll see in red letters it says K-Files e-zine. Click on that. Takes about 10 seconds to subscribe, and you're in. That's it. Well, not quite. You're in. But you get a confirmation email with a link you have to click to activate your subscription. That's it. And you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. Most people stay with us forever, but if you, by whatever stroke of genius, decide you do not want the K-Files e-zine any longer, you can unsubscribe. And no strings attached. Now, last night on the show, one of our callers told me something I had not seen. I do scour the internet for information and news every day. But I had, for some reason, I had missed this. NASA did indeed erase some 45 videotapes of the Apollo 11 mission. And, you know, you gotta wonder. Their story was that, you know, yeah, they did it, and they were not sorry they did it. It was a conscious decision on their part because they needed those tapes for something else, and they recorded over them. But you know, I made the comment last night that... When stuff like that comes out, it sure makes it difficult to defend NASA. I am a fan of a lot that NASA has been involved in over the years. I am a big, big fan of space exploration. I am a big, big fan of... all of the educational programs that they have, and especially where they go into the schools and talk to the children. And I can remember they started doing that even when I was in school. And that was a long time ago. That was so long ago, I still had hair. And so I'm a big fan of NASA, and you've heard me say I think we ought to double their budget. Instead of, you know, all of these cutbacks, I think we ought to double their budget. But when you hear things like this coming out of NASA, it makes it very, very difficult to defend. My guest this evening is Robbie Thomas, world-renowned psychic, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Robbie Thomas. Now, he's no stranger to you. He has been with us before, and we're delighted that he is with us again. And for those of you who are new to the show and maybe new to this genre, Robbie Thomas is a world-renowned psychic. Robbie Thomas is an author of several books. He is a public speaker. He is a conference organizer and producer. And he is a filmmaker. Robbie, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for having me.
Robbie, before we dive into our fare for the evening, I want us to talk about something that you've got coming up here in a couple of weeks now. It's called the Paracon. What is that?
Yeah, it's the Canadian American Paranormal Conference. Been working at it for about a year and a half now, organizing it, putting in place a lot of different demographics and having the speakers aligned. It deals with the different aspects of the paranormal, from your ghost hunter, your average ghost hunter out there, from the different television programs, the popular television programs that are out there, to the psychic ability and working with police and solving murder cases. So we have the broad spectrum of, again, your entertainment to what is reality, and it's something else. The amount of people that have wanted to inquire about this is just astronomical, and being on the border of an American, the border there from Canada to America, it's just in a stone throw away, and you cross the bridge and you're here. So I should have named it the North American Paranormal Conference or the People Conference, but you know, it's got a lot of attention worldwide, mainstream media, from mainstream magazines to national news on television, radio, AM, FM, to internet, and a broad stream of everything. And we're bringing it to the people, we're bringing it to Canada, and showing them what there is out there on television and what's going on in reality and life.
All right, now this, when is this going to take place?
This is going to happen August 5, 6, and 7. August 5th is the VIP special celebrity party, which I'm going to premiere one of the movies of mine that just came out that I'm in, called The Sally House, which was filmed in Kansas City. And a lot of people remember this story about unsolved mysteries, sightings back in the late 90s, and they caught an apparition on the stairwell. And not only that, there was some malicious workings of spirit in behind the scenes to the people who used to live there. And so we went and filmed this reality movie and caught quite a bit on film. And there's a twist in the movie. I tell it like it is. I call it like I see it. And, you know, folks, it's the critics have spoken, from major news networks to reviewers of movies. They've all spoken, and it's just phenomenal, and everybody loves it. So we're going to premiere that on the celebrity night. Also, we're going to premiere a movie that I've shot. I was a director and producer of, called Paradox. I went back about 20 years of my life in the paranormal and took a look at the different places I've been, from New Orleans to Kentucky to Canada, and I integrated a different aspect of everything in the storyline, twisted it with horror, and here we go. We got Paradox, based on the adventures of a paranormal team going into an asylum. And
now that one is sort of fiction based on reality, isn't it?
It's not. Well, it's got a little bit of fiction to it, but it's based on factual events mm-hmm. that actually happened, because I was there and it was recorded. So everything that was happened is actual and factual, but I've just twisted with horror to give that mind's eye glimpse of, somebody always says, you know, what's it really like to see through your eyes? Well, I just enhanced it a little bit to give that characteristic of,
I see.
This is it.
Mm-hmm. So then, really, what you're doing is using some visual props or effects to sort of allow us to see through your eyes.
Yes, absolutely. Like the one scene we could talk about was the woman who was being raped in Manteno State Hospital. I'm on film talking about that, and at the same time, I talked to one of the photographers and the camera crew that was out in front, and I said, turn around and snap a picture. There's a girl over there, and they snapped and they caught her, an apparition of a girl. So I took that episode and I put it into the movie, but I enhanced the men who were actually raping the nurse and made them monster-like. So it gives that demographic of the scariness, and it's all based on factual events.
Cool. Now, I understand, Robbie, that because I've been in touch with you over the past few days, I've been in touch with you two or three times, and even today, I understand that you may have some breaking news to share with the world.
Absolutely. And I know you're sitting there and you're wanting to hear it as well, and I just called halfway around the world to wake up a good colleague of ours and friend who's going to be involved in this this process. And it's been a long time coming. And if I take people back a little bit and just explain a tad about it, a couple years ago there was a program going to come out of Australia, and is centered on solving murder cases live and doing cold cases for real. And it sat number one out of 27,000 shows in MIPCON, France. Now that's where your international programming comes from in the world. A lot of people don't know that. They just think it comes out of the United States and it comes from NBC or CBS. It don't. It comes from France and big conventions like that. So, you know, there was literally, you know, dozens of countries that wanted this program. Now, it got shelved for political gain and political reasons. So we enhanced it and took a diversion of what it was, but based it on what we wanted to prior to this program, that John Ramsey's from Ghost Radio Australia, and he's a great producer and director as well, and he is one of the individuals tied to this new television program that is in development right now that will be coming out. And, you know, I'm letting it out of the bag a little bit here. I'm trying to watch my wording as we go. And so we've enhanced it, made it more applicable in a way that when it's on television, people are going to go, wow, you know, that's paranormal. That is real. And let's just say, you know, my record of working with police and family and putting people away and, you know, finding people alive, and then now getting a chance to work with other individuals such as yourself, Kevin. Kevin Smith's going to be aboard this, folks. You're hearing it right now. You know, ex-Interpol police officer, chief of police.
Well, let me make a correction. I'm not Interpol. International police. That's a
international.
Yeah,
yes.
Different organization.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, you look at the demographics of your background and, you know, what you work with as a police officer. And I was hired on as a police officer twice myself. So we've got a good backing of real, and it's not going out there to fake things or put a ghost show up that, you know, everybody goes, wow, you know, we're going to tune in to see, you know, something running down the hallway. we're going to really go out there and get these bad guys and listen to the other side. And there's a couple more people that are tied to this program that we're not going to talk about right now. If we said their names, everybody out there who's listening would go, I know them. Well, you know, one individual's been on a program that was very highly rated before. It was a great program, was very seated, very high, and so that individual is going to be on this program as well. And we've put this collectiveness of great people together, and we're going to go out and we're going to solve these cases. And it's just not another, oh, here we are, psychic detective or psychic this show. It's not. We are really going to do it, and we're working with police and families, and you're going to see it fresh. You're going to see it as it happens, and it's amazing. I looked at the treatment and the pilot that's ready to shoot, and, you know, we can get into the pilot in a minute, but yes, you know, I'm thankful to have, you know, Kevin Smith aboard, John Ramsey's as a technical director, producer, who will be working behind the scenes, and also we're going to, you know, try to get his butt in front of the scenes as well. You know, it's a great thing. But
the deal is that you got the news today that you're cleared to say that this show is now in development.
Yes, we got the news today that clear to say that this program that we're talking about is in development. I can also say that, yes, Discovery Channel was all over this like white on rice. I can also say that there's other major networks that are eyeing this very diligently. And come next week, a lot of major happenings are going to happen. Talks are going to take place. And, you know, it's about time something like this come forward and something out there. You know, it's amazing because I sat in the office of the vice president of A&E. And when I went there, I say about 3-4 months ago, I went in there with the intent to show them what is real and what can be done. Their jaws fell, and they loved it. And they couldn't get over the legalities, though. You know, how can you call out names? But we worked ourselves around this. They couldn't figure it out, and they didn't like the fact that there was a, you know, I'm not knocking it, but there was a Ghostbuster attached to this, and they said it straight out. We don't get what you do, but we like what you do. And so what we turned around and we changed that, and we got a team of people who are actually going to go and do what is real. And it's about time. It's about time something comes out like this.
Well, speaking of what is real, just to give you an update, and as well as our listeners, I can't remember when it was. You know, first of all, there's been a lot of water under the bridge since then. Second of all, I'm an old guy, and I'm allowed to forget. But you came on this show. We were having a problem here in the Phoenix area. People, you know, here, you have to understand, if you're going to get out and do walking or jogging or anything like that, you have to do it very early in the morning before the sun comes up, or you have to do it late in the evening, well after the sun goes down because of the heat. And I'm talking about in the summertime, it's that way. And, you know, the sun goes down here, and it's still close to midnight before it begins to get back down close to 100 degrees. And after midnight, before you get back down, you know, below 100. And so it's a normal thing for people to be out walking or jogging at times of the night when you wouldn't find that in other parts of the country. Well, as they would be out doing what's normal here, they became targets. And there was someone that was riding around in Phoenix, and they would simply just fire some shots out of a vehicle and kill someone for no reason, apparently. Now, this series of killings became known as the baseline killer because many of these happened on or near Baseline Road. And so it became known as the baseline killings, and they were looking for the baseline killer. Now, you were scheduled to be on another radio show, and you were going to, as a psychic, you were going to give information about the baseline killers. And they backed out because they were nervous. They said, well, you know, if you get real specific about this, what if those guys get upset and then want to come over here after us? And when you told me that, I said, well, I'll put you on. And I don't know if you remember part of that conversation. You said, you're not nervous then about what if the baseline killers want to come after you? I said, no, I'll give them my address. If they want some of me, come get it.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I do, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And so we did the show, and you told us some specific things that were involved with these baseline killings, and in particular, you said there's not one suspect, there's two. And you said, and at this point, the police had not made arrest. And you said, there's an older guy and a younger guy, and they live together. And you said the police have already talked to them and have dismissed them as suspects, but they're going to come back to them. And you said, and very, very soon, the police are going to make an arrest. They're going to arrest these guys. That happened exactly as you said it would. And it happened within a few days after you had been on the show. Within a few days, the police made the arrest and shocked the city by informing us all that there were two suspects. It was an older guy and a younger guy. They lived together. And that they said that they had talked with these guys before and had dismissed them as suspects. But there had been further developments that brought them back to them. It was exactly as you said. The trials are over now, and one of those suspects turned state's evidence against the other one. And the other one was found guilty and was sentenced to death. The update is this one that turned state's evidence, of course, was also found guilty, and he admitted his role in it. But because he cooperated, they were asking that he not receive the death penalty. It is my understanding that as of yesterday, the verdict of the jury is that he will get life in prison without the possibility of parole. Case done. These guys are tied up, and the mystery is solved, and the killings were stopped. But it all unfolded exactly like you told us it was going to happen. So that's the update. The update is the verdicts are in now.
Yeah, that is good, and I'm glad. Every case I've worked on, and the scum that are on the street that get put away, we'll talk about the Victoria Stafford case. I just spoke to the aunt.
Okay, let's talk about the Victoria Stafford case right after we come back from this break. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is world-renowned psychic Robbie Thomas. Robbie, you were about to tell us about a case, the Stafford case.
Yeah, absolutely. Just before we touch upon that, I want to just jump back to the baseline killers.
Yeah.
A lot of people knew I was on radio about 4 or 5 years ago and, you know, dealing in that area as well. I was on a different radio program that was in Glendale, Arizona. And when I was approached, I was asked if I could help. So I established a document with different points on it, which my manager of my radio station also was good friends with the chief of police in that area, was submitted to them. And then I went on your program and we talked about it. So, you know, there's a lot of documentation everything backs up about the baseline killers. And I just want to make a real real funny here. I was speaking to Margaret Wendt, who found and gave Van Prague his start in this career, and also John Edward. And she's in L.A. She's a huge icon in the business of television and what have you. And she was talking to me the other day, about, I'd say about 5 days ago, and she says to me, you know, it's really funny because Van Prague is saying that he solved the baseline killers. And I nearly choked on my coffee. And, you know, I said, you know, it's really funny because there's a big documentation paper trail. And not only that, there's shows archived prior to that that, you know, he wasn't even involved. I was.
Yeah.
And, you know, she starts laughing. She goes, I know, you know, she goes, I can't believe it. He said that. And, you know, it just goes on to show you, you know, just different aspects. But, you know, jumping forward again to the Victoria Stafford case, I got off the phone today. I'm supposed to be at a wedding tomorrow. And it's Rebecca, the aunt. It's her wedding tomorrow. Victoria, her birthday was this week. And it is sad because I still reflect upon this. This case is fresh. And, you know, working with the family, the father's side, and with the police and giving them information, sitting in the police station, and as we're looking at the material and on film, watching a woman walking a little girl down the street, you couldn't make her face out. You couldn't make out anything. And there was really nothing they could go on. And I did the profiling. And I sent the information in through email. Not only that, drove out there. I was asked to come down to Woodstock and went down there with information as well. And I profiled a man and a woman, and they couldn't understand why a man. And, you know, it's just the way the ability works. And so not only did I profile a man, but the way that he looked, his job, the way it was the problem, the drugs that were involved, the mental state of the woman, everything. And it all came back direct as what was told to me. It was a hit, really direct on. Well, now they have two individuals arrested for murder one, and they're in jail, and they'll never hurt anybody ever, ever, ever again.
And it was a man and a woman?
It was a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm. And now, I'm not familiar with the Victoria Stafford case. What are the details of that? What happened?
It's April 8th, a 8-year-old little girl, Victoria, blonde-haired little girl, went missing in Woodstock, Ontario. She was caught on camera from the school yards and yards away as this woman was leading her away across the street on a sidewalk, and you couldn't make out the woman's face. All you seen was the back of the woman, and she was walking Victoria down the street nonchalantly. And that's all they had to go on. There was nothing more than that. There's more. The case is still open. I'm trying to watch how I talk about certain aspects.
And yeah, you don't want to blow the case for them.
No, I don't want to open up any can of worms or anything. And so in speaking to the family, I went down, gave them a lot of information and much more, which a lot of things that the police have already went over and found certain things were in the information that I gave. And I know it's very, you know, opaque the way I'm painting this, but I'm sure people can understand because the case is still open. And you know, you look at what's going on.
So, well, now they have arrested these people, right?
They have.
Yeah, but it has not yet gone to trial.
They've been to court a few times, and they're getting ready for the main part of the trial coming very shortly.
Yeah, so until they finish that, you have to be careful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, in my ending statement about this right now would be the fact that I'm glad there's two people in jail. There's more than substantial evidence pointing to these two people. And we did get the right two people, let's just say that.
All right, now you've been working on another case. Now, you talked with me. I really can't remember, Robbie, if we talked about this on air or if you talked with me off air about it, but it was the last time you were on, we talked about it, and then over the past couple of days, we've talked about it for maybe less than a minute, but that would be the Burlington case. Are you able to talk about that?
Yeah, we can talk about that most certainly. Elisha McMaster, a beautiful 22-year-old young woman, found hung on a public park swing. Only, I would say, I was down there, so I'd say probably about 50 feet from the police station. And the police ruled it as a suicide. Now, Jane McMaster contacted me, that's the mother, September. I think it was September 10th of 2008, to be exact. And I was on different cases and doing a lot of different things on tour and what have you. And so I told her, I promised I would get to her, like everybody had promised I'd get to their cases. And so we started putting some things together. All I had was her picture of the daughter, beautiful, beautiful young woman. There's a lot of aspects that I hit upon right now that made the committee, the the police and the ethics committee, there you go, the ethics committee and the police look at everything that was brought up to the mother that I gave her, and now they're going to reopen the case because it's not a suicide. You know, there's certain aspects I can't get into again because it's open case, and this is going to be our pilot shoot for our program. Jane is aboard. She's all for this. You know, it's to show people out there and, you know, don't be afraid. Reach out. You need help, and don't feel that the doors have closed. And just because, you know, the police or, you know, certain reports are written up, things get looked at. You know, everybody's human, and things get, you know, misconstrued or mistakes happen. So this is what took place. Now, when I said, look at the coroner's report, and I see this, what's going on, she read it. She goes, oh, my gosh, you're right. And they never looked at that. And they never looked at certain aspects that were in that coroner's report. Mm-hmm. So I named the certain details, and they brought it forward. She brought it forward. And I also named certain other details of the area and what happened, different people in place. And so now this is what's happening. They're reopening it, and it's a phenomenal thing. So this is going to be our pilot shoot, folks. You're going to get the inside scoop a little bit on what's happening, and it's going to be a very touchy pilot for the new program. It's going to be very intense, dramatic, and we're going after the bad guys, Kevin, and we're going to put them away.
Well, that's my kind of music. I'll tell you what. There are people, I know this because I spent a lifetime in law enforcement. There are people that don't understand. They simply do not understand the rush that a cop, someone who you know, you've been a cop all your life, it's in your blood, and the rush that you get by being able to get a good case against a really bad person that really needs to be off the street in order for the rest of us to be able to live in relative peace and safety. And when it all comes together and you know, you've done all of the, you've dotted the I's, you've crossed the T's, and you've got the case, and all you got to do is go say you're under arrest. I'll tell you, there is a rush to that. And I make no bones about it. That's one of the things I enjoyed about being a cop was, you know, when it would all come together and you could take one of these bad guys off the street. There's a rush to it, I'll tell you. And I am looking forward to the possibility of doing this sort of thing in a different venue. You know, I used to do it in a uniform and with a badge, and now I'll get to be a part of a team that's doing it from a different angle in assisting the police department. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. With your background, and you're that go-between to be able to speak with our brothers in blue. You know, I was a police officer, so our brothers in blue, you know, and I'll be working it as a different part of the aspect, and we're going to share this information. We're going to give them more leads and evidence so that they can see and open up, and we're going to go after these guys. We're going to have fulfillment. We're going to bring resolve, and we're going to bring solace to families. You know, there's one thing in this life I've learned in 18 years of doing this, is the family, the human condition. We have to bring the resolve, the solace, the peace, the closure. They need it. And there's so many people out there who are just, you know, vying for this. There's, you know, there's no avenue, there's no way out, and they think the doors are closed, whether or not. This program's going to be there, and I want everybody who's tuning in, you know, don't be afraid. Contact us, and I'm sure that Louis, the one of the producers from the program, there's going to be a phone number and you know, an email address and what have you to contact them. People who know me now can contact me, and we got cases already all lined up, and we're going to help. That's what it's about. We're out there to help and get the scum off the street.
Well, I think you probably understand the rush that comes with it too, but I mean it's like an adrenaline high when you really have the goods on them and you can wrap it up and say to the guy, pal, it's over, you're under arrest, and I don't expect people who aren't cops to understand that. But take my word for it, folks. It's a thrill to someone that is a cop to be able to get one of these bad guys off the street. All right, Robbie, in doing this show, some cases may take longer to wrap up and to bring to a conclusion. They may take longer than you have allotted for a show. What do you plan to do? You plan to do the show up, you know, as far as you can with the investigation, and then later, when they do resolve it, do an update. Are you going to do something like that?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. There's a case of Cheryl Flynn. Her husband went missing. And he walked out the door one day, and all he said was, again, see, we can talk about this because we got permission to do all these about these different cases. He didn't want to hurt her anymore, and he was a little bit abusive, and so he left. She wanted to find him. You know, he just went. He disappeared off the face of the earth.
Okay, hold that thought, Cheryl Flynn, and when we come back from this break, we'll hear that story. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. All right, Robbie Thomas, you were about to tell us about the Cheryl Flynn case.
Yeah, absolutely. Her husband walked out on her a few years ago and just disappeared off the face of the earth. Now, I'm going to take people just a little bit back a bit before we start talking about this case. I want to talk about Paige Bergfeld. Mother by Day, Hooker by Night. It was on NBC, Dateline. I remember Fogarty, one of the producers from Dateline, calling me up saying, "We'll fly you out here to Grand Junction, and we want you to help us find her body," because she got wind that I was working with a sergeant who was a retired sergeant off the police force who was looking for her, and we ended up finding a woman's top way up. And this is true remote viewing. I'm back in Canada, so I'm telling them where to go. And we found a woman's top way up in the mountain area. And you wouldn't even picnic up there. You wouldn't drive back there. You couldn't dream of it. And
when you say a woman's top, you're talking about a blouse or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. And I name the individual, and I talk about his ethics and his job and what have you. So what the sergeant did, he went in and dressed as a mechanic himself and just stopped in at this RV place where this mechanic worked and decided to say, "I'm looking for a job." Well, it kind of spooked him, and he said, "No, we're not hiring." So as they were, and this is really funny because they were telling me details, they're on the cell phones. And as they're driving down the road, well, this mechanic jumped in his truck and followed them because he was scared and he didn't know what was going on. He was busted. And so he kept following them all down the road, and then they did a U-turn, and he did a U-turn, and then now there's snow on the ground, mind you, now there was snow on the ground. The next day, they went back up to the area in which I was talking about. There were new, fresh tire marks and one set of footprints that led to the area in which that they found the woman's top. So it was amazing. And so now I'm going to bring you forward to Dateline being on TV, and they're questioning I think it was the captain of the police force, and the sheriff, and they're on TV talking to him, and they're mentioning certain aspects, and you see that his face going beet red, and I'm thinking, oh man, this is stuff that they tried to get out of me. They were supposed to keep it fresh and, you know, not talk about it. It was supposed to be all quiet until we all got down there, but it didn't happen that way. But here's the gist I want to tell everybody. It's going to relate to Cheryl Flynn's story as well. There was a so-called, and I call them neon psychics, that led the police and the family on a wild goose chase for over a year, wasted money and wasted time and the expenditure of everything, and led them to nowhere. Now that person disappeared, and you don't hear them, and you know it's maddening. So coming back down now to Cheryl Flynn, and I'm going to make a point here, is the fact that she was told, again, by another psychic, "Your husband's dead, and he was in Mexico, and you'll never find his bones." Now, everybody who's listening to this, please do not listen to people who tell you stories like that. That's ludicrous. It really is. Check credentials, for heaven's sakes. And, you know, people, they jump, you know, at a moment's whim to want to talk to every psychic in the world just so that they can, guess feel closure somehow. But, you know, please take your time and look at credentials. Look who's real. So Cheryl calls me up and says, "Oh, this so-called psychic says he's dead and his bones are in the desert and I'll never find them." And I said, no. And we went on and we gave some relevant information that only she would know, and yet the police would only know too. And it just sparked a new hope in her life. And so now the RCMP of Canada are also involved in this, and that's going to be one of our programs that we're going to show as well. So it's going to show real versus, you know, just what people think is real. And mm-hmm. it's amazing.
There was a case, and I don't function as a psychic. I was just functioning as a cop. But there was a case years ago where a 17-year-old girl disappeared, and no one could find her. There wasn't a trace anywhere. It's just like, poof, she never existed. And her parents were obviously beside themselves. And they requested... They went to the sheriff's office and requested that I be assigned the investigation. And, Robbie, I had worked all night I had just gotten, I had worked 12 hours, just gotten home in the morning, and had just gone to sleep. I was tired, and the phone rings, and it was the office telling me to get up and put on a suit and come to the office. I was assigned to this investigation. And so I did, and when I walked in, the chief of investigations was, I guess, a little bit put out that they had requested me by name. And he said, after he put the file in front of me, he said, you think you can find her, huh? I said, yeah. He said, are you sure you can find her? I said, sure. And that sort of upset him a little more. But the deal was pretty simple, and that is, if it has or has had a heartbeat, it has left evidence. It has left a trail. It's like following the breadcrumbs. And you just have to be meticulous enough to find out where are those breadcrumbs, and then you follow the trail. And I did. Within about 3 days, I had located her, and she was alive and well and had just run away from home and was in Houston, Texas. And the same thing I would think would be true if you're looking for them using psychic abilities, and that is, there's a trail, and, you know, yes, we can find the trail. You know, we still have to go out and do the physical search, but yeah, we can find the trail. We can find out where they went, or at least in which direction.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you brought back a little bit of a memory, and it's amazing because, you know, I get this phone call, and again, you know, you're on that scope of it, and, you know, Kevin, as much as I look back in my life and the way I wanted to be a police officer so bad that I went through twice, you know, it's amazing. I get a phone call, and I'm asked, this producer's missing, and they're very fearful. So Hamilton County Police of Florida filed this missing persons case, and they said to me on the phone, we had this really well-known psychic off one of these very famous, or we call famous, paranormal programs on TV right now. And he says that he's shot and dead in a hotel. And I said, no, he's not shot and dead in a hotel. He's alive, just like what you were talking. That's why I brought back memories.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, he'll call you in 3 days. And they laughed at me. And they said, you know, I don't think they were really laughing at me. I think they were laughing at what I said. It come out, like, you know, in a certain way. And they said, well, thank you, and, you know, we'll talk soon. And
yeah, don't call us, we'll call you.
Yeah, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened was, 3 days later, I got a letter, and it's on my wall, and it's actually right on my MySpace page, and it's word for word, the authentic one, and they're thanking me, they're calling me an angel and everything, and, you know, he was alive, and he was exactly where I told him he'd be, and exactly the circumstances of what took place. So, you know, I sit there and I go, you know, this one person on this paranormal program who is supposed to be, you know, what he is. And, you know, it's amazing. It's just amazing. Like I said, check credentials. Make sure people have done this before and make sure that they know what they're doing. And, you know.
And it takes a long time to build up the track record. You know, a track record is called a track record for a reason. There has to be a track. It takes time for someone to build a track record, but everyone has one in their profession. You know, you wouldn't want to go to a doctor that has, like, you know, a 60% death ratio. You know,
I know
that might be a doctor you would want to avoid. And the same thing is true with anything having to do with psychics and psychic investigators, UFO investigators, private detectives. They all have track records, folks. Check them out. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Robbie Thomas. We'll continue talking with Robbie in just a moment, and we will open the telephone lines in just a moment. A couple of quick announcements. First of all, welcome to all of you who missed the first hour and are just now joining us. And, if you miss a single second of a Kevin Smith Show, you miss a universe of information. But we're glad you're here now. The music that you hear on the Kevin Smith Show comes principally from two places, entirely from independent artists, and the two places where we get most of the music is GarageBand.com or Music.Podshow.com, and I extend my thanks to both of those excellent services for making music available to us. All right, Robbie, you were about to tell us a story, and we had to cut away. I want you to be able to finish that, and then we'll open up the telephone lines.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What was that? You broke up.
I said you were about to tell us a story, and we had to step away for break. And I want you to be able to finish the story, and then we'll open the phone lines.
Yeah. Looking at the fact that when you were talking about the police coming to you and saying, can you find her, and you said yes, and you come up with the evidence, and you look back, it's something else. Just like when I said, he's not dead, he's alive, and they look at you, and it's amazing, and they say, it can't be, and they say, yeah, it's true, he's alive. And so they hang up, and then a few days later, they hang up the phone, and a few days later, I get a phone call. Not only that, a letter stating, I'm an angel, and they found him. He was alive, exactly where he was. And, looking back at who it was and the prominent show on TV and everything, I tell people this. I just don't harp on it, but I make sure that people understand. Everybody and their grandmother and their horse on every corner in Arizona or any state in the country call themselves psychic. Please, don't fall for that. Don't fall for things like that. Don't waste your money. And, a lot of people are going to get ticked at what I say, but you know what? It's the truth. The truth hurts? Well, then it hurts. But you know what? Don't hurt yourself by getting yourself entangled with something that someone's going to deprive you of what is true.
But, the only people that are going to get ticked at that are the frauds.
Yeah.
And who cares?
Exactly.
The only people that are really ticked with the police are the criminals. And the point is, I expect the criminals to be ticked with the police. And I expect fraudulent psychics to be ticked off about you saying something like that, but so what? The frauds don't matter.
I've seen it. No, I've seen it over the years, Kevin. The economy gets bad, and all of a sudden the closet door opens, and there's all these so-called psychics coming out, and they've been in it for like 10, 20 years, just like ghost hunting, they've been in it for, all these teams are popping up everywhere. I did a show, and it was going back about 10 years ago. Keith H., who's on Sci-Fi Channel, seen me. One day we had a conversation, calls me up, he goes, I seen you on the show, and I really want to talk to you. I can't get over what I seen. And he goes, I can count on my hand how many teams there were, 10, 15 years ago. And I said to him, you know what? In Canada, I can count that and cut it in half, and that's what's in Canada. And now you got like thousands of teams, and it's just funny how everybody has 10, 20 years experience.
And the same thing is happening with UFO and paranormal radio. When I started, The only person that was streaming on the internet anything like this was Art Bell. And, you know, I'm not, I didn't try to copy Art Bell, and I'm not today trying to copy Art Bell. But when I started, there was Art Bell, and there was Kevin Smith. And today, there are literally tens of thousands of UFO paranormal radio shows on the internet. And some are good. Some are excellent. And some of them, this coming wave of legislation is going to wipe out a lot of internet broadcasters, and some of these really ought to be wiped out because of the nonsense that they promote. But
it's crazy.
Yeah, it is. Look, I want to open up the telephone line and allow folks to call in. If you have a question for Robbie or a comment for Robbie, it could be, Robbie, that we have some folks in the audience who are truly psychics and just want some pointers, some tips on how to go about establishing themselves. You know, how do you establish yourself as real as opposed to the frauds? But whatever it is, folks, we want you to have the opportunity to call in and to talk with Robbie. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. If you can call that without it costing you any long-distance charges, please use that number. Now, if it's going to cost you long-distance charges, please feel free to use our toll-free number. It is 888-223-4599. For those of you who are watching the show on KSS-TV, then it's on your screen. For those of you on radio or the internet or cell phones, let me give you the numbers again, 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. Now, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, we want you to be able to participate in the show without it costing you anything. Feel free, if you want to make the international long distance call, feel free to call 623-444-5889. It will work from anywhere in the world. But if you don't want to pay for that international call, you can use our flash message feature by going to my website, scroll down, and you will see under Robbie's picture, you will see a link that says flash message. Feel free to use that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. Robbie, it's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I was wondering, I worked in private security / law enforcement, and in that business, you got to kind of be on your toes when you're put in certain situations. And I was wondering, like, what you would consider, you know, people feel things like in the middle of their stomach or gut area there. Would you call that sixth sense, you know, more or less like the flight or fight sense? Because I know I recollect, you know, when I was going into an area, I felt like I could increase my hearing. You know, I could almost hear a pin drop, you know. I mean, I was well aware of my surroundings and stuff. And even today, I had my hearing checked, and they lady told me that I had some of the best hearing she's ever checked. You know, so I was wondering, you know, if you think that that's been enhanced because of my need to use it.
You know, it's a great question, and I know Kevin will say the same thing. When you have a hunch or your gut instinct, you always go with it in your first initial gut instinct or your hunch, because that is your intuition working, the police intuition or the intuition of the individual, and you're getting the premise of what is given to you, and that's the start of any basis of any investigation. If you don't follow that, then you're going to be one that's always reaching for different avenues and wanting to find the answer. I would always, and I always stress this, you know, you can ask any police officer or in your line of work, it's always your very first initial gut instinct or thought or feeling that comes over you, go with it.
Yeah, you're usually right, huh?
Terry, let me throw this in. You're talking about something that I used to call cabbage in the kitchen.
Cabbage in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, now here's, you're aware when you cook cabbage, when you boil cabbage, it is odoriferous. You can smell it for a long way.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, okay. Now, if I'm approaching a house and I smell cabbage before I get to the front door, I don't have to go into the kitchen and look into the pot to tell it's cabbage. My sense of smell tells me there's cabbage cooking in the kitchen. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got your point.
Okay, and so I may not know what spices are in it. I may not know what meats have been put into it. I may not know the details. But I know there's cabbage cooking in the kitchen. And when you're walking into an area, you're on patrol, and all of a sudden you get that sense that, you know, the hair stands up on the back of your neck, You don't know why, you don't know the details, and you don't need to. It's cabbage in the kitchen.
That's right. Something's up.
Something's up, and you know, you need to. In my opinion, and my practice was at that point, it's time to take cover and call for backup.
Yeah, I just wondered, being in that, you know, and using them techniques and stuff, and, you know, and realizing, you know, the feedback I was getting from it, you know, if I was kind of, you know, feeding into my ability of sixth sense of some sort. And,
well, my, now, Robbie may have a different opinion. My opinion is yes, and this is one of the reasons that even though it's very, very difficult to get police officers or military people to talk about it openly and publicly, I know from being on the inside for years, they operate off of that so-called sixth sense a great deal of the time. And they even talked about it when I went through the academy. I don't know, Robbie, if they talked about it when you went through, but they even talked about it. They said, you know, if the hair on the back of your neck stands up, you got that gut feeling something's not right, go with that. It's not right. Call for backup and don't proceed.
Yeah. Well, it's one of our sayings was it's better to be tried by 12 than carried by 6.
Yeah, I've heard that. It's true. It's true. All right, Terry, thanks for the call.
Sure.
All right. What do you think, Robbie? You think?
Yeah, absolutely. No, you hit it right on the head, and we just told two different stories. But I mean,
did they talk about it when you were doing police training?
You know, when I went through, and my friends who are cops now to this day still. Funny thing, Paul Mullins is a police officer, and he's a buddy of mine. I've known him since like great age three, and I was shooting the movie Paradox. And I was in the hospital, and he pulled up, and he wanted to see some of the film footage. And as we're filming, and the actors outside, we took a break, and he goes, you know, it's so reminiscent of when he went through to be a police officer, when I did it at the same time, and, you know, being to where he is now, if he didn't learn to use his gut instinct properly, or that sense, he wouldn't be where he is. And, you know, every police officer carries that. Every individual does. I just think you're more prone and keen to it when you're in a job situation or in a not a job situation, but in a situation such as a prestigious, as a police officer being put in the line of fire and, you know, trying to figure out different things, or you're going after a criminal, they use that type of sense. And people in their everyday lives take life for granted, period, that they're so lax in the way they live it, they don't understand and they don't have that acceptance. But it's there. And, you know,
I don't want to overstate the case, but I don't really think you can overstate the case. He was asking about security guards and cops. People who put on a uniform and a badge every day are aware. If they're not aware of this, they need to get out of the business. But they are aware of the fact that every day, as they go to work, this could be the last day. And it's not as if you have like a morbid fear of that, but you have to live on that edge. You have to understand this could be it. I may come out of this in a pine box just by putting on the uniform and going to work. And that gives you that, it should give you that heightened sense of awareness. And when we talk about a heightened sense of awareness, what we're talking about is that you're paying attention to signals that you've been getting all along, but you weren't paying attention to them before. Now you are. And to some degree, I think that's psychic. You're paying attention to things, to signals that your body responds to. And
absolutely.
And then you're acting accordingly. Now, what happens, the ones that don't pay attention to that, they're the ones you read about in the newspaper. They made it'll say, routine traffic stop. And then the guy comes out of the car with a gun and blows them away. Well, there are no routine traffic stops. Every traffic stop has to be treated as very serious, even if it's just a traffic violation, because you don't know, this guy that you're stopping may have just killed three people. And you don't know about it, but he does. And he thinks you do. And he's coming out to make sure that he doesn't get arrested. And you have to treat every traffic stop that way. So I think within the field of law enforcement, those that are out there on the streets, the cops that are on patrol, the cops that are doing investigations, I think there's a very large number of them that in private would tell you that, yeah, they pay attention to that so-called sixth sense. Because if they don't, today could be the day.
Oh, absolutely. You know, living life, and I look at it this way. Each day I live my life, and what I do in that day is just not built upon going happy-go-lucky, just do it. It's built on the sense of my awareness. And you know, I've always used this, and I don't use it. I mean, I've always been so profound in the way I say it, of God and spirit. And that's how I am. And, you know, and it doesn't matter what faith you are as a police officer, and in doing your job diligently, it's how you serve the right of yourself, because you have to have that perception, that ability, that inapt way of taking a look and seeing that every traffic stop, like you said, is just not a traffic stop. You have to understand what's beyond the next 10 steps, and you have to feel that out. And that was a great question that caller called in with.
It was, but I want to go a step beyond the traffic cops, beyond the patrol cops, beyond security guards, beyond military, and say that I think what you just said really applies to everyone. If you get up in the morning and just sort of willy-nilly go through your day, you're going to have willy-nilly results at the end of the day. But if you're tuned in to your feelings and your senses and pay attention to what's happening with you, pay attention to how it's impacting you, I think you're more apt to make right decisions. And at the end of the day, have better results, more positive results at the end of the day. Now, I could be wrong about that, but one thing I'm not wrong about is everything you do is going to impact the entire universe. Everything you do impacts the universe.
Yeah.
And so if you can make better choices, then you impact it in a better way, and you get better things back as a result. You get better results in your life. So,
true.
Now a number of people. By the way, the telephone number, folks, is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Or toll free at 888-223-4599. Robbie, a number of people in our audience, in fact, a very large number of people in our audience, have had some sort of encounter with UFOs. Either they've seen one, or maybe they are abductees, or they are contactees. And the testimony of a lot of these people, not all, but the testimony of a lot of these people is that it resulted in them having psychic, or at least being aware of psychic abilities that they didn't have or they were not aware of prior to that happening. And I'm sure this is not something new to you. You've heard of this before. You've heard people talk about that happening to them. What do you think it is about that kind of event in someone's life that sort of switches on those psychic abilities?
When you ask that question, it brings me back to when I was a child and, you know, being the age of 3 and 4 and my mother putting the laundry on the line. And I'm laying in the grass looking up at the sky. And I said to her, you know, when are they coming back, Mom? And she said, who, the angels? And she put her laundry and said, no, the other angels. And she said, what do you mean? And I would explain. The ability to know that life goes on beyond planet Earth, you just quantified your whole being. I know people can only take a look at certain genre, we'll call it genre for now, in the paranormal as, you know, ghost and that's it. Or, you know, there's a different realm other than ghost, but we'll call it demons. It goes beyond the scope of that. There's much more. And, you know, I sit there in the 32 years that I've been really tied up in doing what I'm doing, thick, in this work, in I call it total spirit. It's just not paranormal, it's spirit. I look at the difference of life outside of planet Earth and how we perceive and how that education of reincarnation and knowing that we can have that psychic ability of feeling other life from other forms or other origins. It's just key. It's all part of us. And, you know, if you're a fool to sit there and think that it's not written in any scripture or any Bible or anything that's put down as man has put it down, you're really missing out in life.
Yeah, Robbie, we have to take a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Okay, folks, this is what you've been waiting for, your vacation of a lifetime. It awaits your arrival down under in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. And to make sure your holiday really is a dream come true, you'll be staying at the Bath Street Apartments. Here are just a few of the things that you'll enjoy in your home for the holidays.
Stunning water and mountain views from all windows and from your own private balcony or veranda. Modern furnishings, a full modern kitchen with all new appliances, oven and hot plates, fat-free grill, full-size refrigerator, large-capacity microwave oven, cappuccino machine, dishwasher, and enough crockery, cutlery, and utensils to satisfy anyone's culinary desires. The lounge room has an extensive range of electronic home entertainment equipment, including, now get this, a big-screen TV, free digital satellite, pay TV on Foxtel All-Star with over 60 channels, DVD, video, wireless broadband connection, free local telephone calls from the in-room telephone with your own private telephone number so loved ones and friends can call you directly. The bathroom? Wow, the bathroom has a large spa bath, separate shower cubicle, ceiling-mounted heat lamp and fan and hair dryer, and it just gets better and better. Folks, you've got to see Bath Street Apartments. So click the banner over on the Kevin Smith Show website or just go to bathstreetapartments.com.au. Your dreams are awaiting your arrival.
Get away. I'm gonna Cisco to sit by the fire, darling. I'm gonna Cisco to sing with the band. When the weight of the world pushes down, we go to Cisco. You bring the whiskey, I'll bring the guitar. We'll celebrate our troubles. We'll howl at the moon, singing London homesick blues. Big escape, not today. Today we're gonna get away. I'm gonna Cisco to sit by the fire, darling. I'm gonna Cisco to sing with the band. And when the weight of the world pushes down me, go to Cisco goodbye. I'm going to Cisco to sit by the fire. Back on that old dusty road, laughing at nothing really funny. My father, my son, one for all, all for one. We're rolling through, the horizon meets the sky so blue. Driving home to my bride.
Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it, You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is world-famous psychic Robbie Thomas. The telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA or you're outside of Canada, you can use our flash message feature, and we invite you to do that. The flash message feature is on my website. Go to kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, and you'll see a link that says flash message. And you can send me a message with your question or comment, and we'll be glad to ask our guest to comment on it. Now, Robbie, we were talking about this so-called sixth sense. It goes by a lot of different names, but I really think it is something that everybody has, but not everyone is tuned into it. And yet, many, many people, after they have, even if all they did is see a UFO, it seems to be the kind of event that sort of switches on their awareness of that sixth sense. Now, not everyone says that happens to them, but it does in a significant number of cases. And what I'm wondering is if it could be this. Here's a guy just sort of tootling along through life, and he's not paying any attention, or a gal tootling along through life, and she's not paying attention to this sixth sense. It's there. It's speaking to them, and they're just paying no attention to it. And they also happen to be of the frame of mind that this UFO stuff is all nonsense, and people that claim they've seen UFOs, they're drinking left-handed Kool-Aid, or they need to go see a doctor, there's something wrong with them. And then it happens to them. They see a UFO. And all of a sudden, their perception of what is reality changes because their eyes are looking at a UFO. And their perception of reality in that instant changes. And now, whatever it was that was in them suppressing that sixth sense and paying no attention to it, that's part of that old perception of reality. Now they have a new perception of reality. And so maybe that's what sort of activates that consciousness of that sixth sense in them. Does that make any sense at all, or am I way off base there?
No, that's correct. And when you're talking about that, I want to add this to them, to people who are listening. We have that sense, like you say, everyone does, and it's called intuition. Now, people who are more attuned to it will call it ability. And when they have that prelude or that moment, the interlude with a UFO or spirit, and they become more aware, and then now they're trying, their body and the senses and everything about them, it's like a calculator. It's trying to figure out, how this happened and what's going on, and all this stuff is coming in information, and they're absorbing all this. Now, here's a different part of it. When that happens...
Let me just say to the caller that's on hold, hang on, and we'll get to you. Go ahead, Robbie.
Yeah. And, and when that happens at times, sometimes people go through this phase where they see or they have an encounter, but yet they're so lax, they sit back and they disbelieve what's going on, and it's just like a figment kind of their imagination, but they know it happened, but they're not really, you know, really diving into it. But yet it was a miracle, and it was a moment that should be like broadcasted on the news. But yet they're still, you know, so quaint and frail of the moment. They're sitting back.
Well, I think a lot of times people convince themselves that no rational mind would believe this, and I'll deal with that concept in just a moment. My audience knows that I really am keen on rational thinking. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Charles in Albuquerque.
Well, Charles in Albuquerque, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Doing well, sir. Good to hear from you.
It's an interesting subject you got going. It reminds me of the only one psychic experience that I could say I've ever had. But it wasn't UFO related.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I used to want to play the piano. And my dad was a lawyer, and he one day he had a client that couldn't pay his bill and decided had a piano, and he decided to trade for the piano his bill. So he had the piano brought to the house, but I didn't know about it. That day, as I was walking home from school, as soon as I turned the block near my house, I had this sudden intuition, this sudden realization, this sudden knowledge that there was a piano at my house waiting for me. And I just had no idea where it came from. And I got to my house, and sure enough, there was a piano. I couldn't believe it. But I've never had another psychic experience since.
But you don't doubt that one, do you?
Sorry?
You don't doubt that one.
No, I don't doubt that, because there was no way I could know
that
my dad was going to do that. And yet, the suddenness, the certainty of the knowledge that just suddenly I just knew it was there, and then to have it confirmed as I got home was just amazing to me.
How do you think that happened?
Yeah, you know, I want to interject about that. You know, a sister could be living in Alberta, Canada, and another sister living in Kansas City, and they're twins. And it doesn't have to be twins. They could be just sisters. And they're so tied genealogically that the one sister burns her hand, and all of a sudden the other one feels it in Kansas City. There's been notations of that on TV and documentation of that. So your father having this piano in his home and the joy that he knew that his son's going to come home one day or come home that day and see this piano in the house, you know, what, and just thinking to himself, like, you know, I can't wait to see his face because, you know, he's going to probably smile from ear to ear. You felt that, and that was...
Yeah, no doubt. I felt something. I somehow
Absolutely.
Knew it was... You know, I think that perhaps we all have a psychic ability, and we're just not aware of it, kind of like we're not aware of our blind spot.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But, you know, Charles, I bet you've had some in your work as a judge. I bet you've had some that maybe you didn't identify that way. Have you ever had someone in front of you that was telling a story and, you know, he's giving his testimony, and everything about that testimony was, you know, it was sewn together well. You know, it didn't have big holes in it or anything. And something about it, you just knew this guy was lying.
Yeah. Well, now, there I have it. I have a hard time separating the idea of an actual psychic experience from those unconscious perceptions that we must be aware of, like body language and...
But I think all of that falls into the psychic.
I am picking up on.
Yeah, I think all of that falls into the realm of psychic.
Well, I kind of distinguish psychic from those other types of information that you could you could gain from observation, even though you may not be aware of the observation.
Well, let's throw the ball over to Robbie. So on my side of the fence, I'm saying that I think all of that falls into the realm of psychic. I think it's probably at the lower end of the scale, and that psychic abilities and psychic phenomena go beyond that. But I think when you're picking up on those things, people say it this way. They say there was just something about it. I really couldn't put my finger on it. But there was something about it. What they're saying is, I really can't identify what it was, but something was telling me that guy's lying. And it's the fact that we cannot consciously identify it, in my opinion, puts it in the realm, the lower realm, perhaps, but the realm of the psyche. What do you say, Robbie?
Yeah, looking at the difference between perception and the ability to look at an individual, body language, as the judge brought up, we can read people. And when you put an analysis out there and you're trying to figure them out, or you're trying to bring the assumption of what's going on and what's going on in their mind, and you're trying to read that person, you have them in front of you. Now, take yourself outside of that. And you're walking down the street, and you have a perceived vision of a piano in your house. That is a total psychic ability that happened at that moment.
So you agree? You agree with Charles then, and that you divide them, and you would not put what I said, my description. You wouldn't put it in the realm of the psychic.
No, actually, I agree with both of you.
Oh, that's cool. Guys, I have to take a break. Charles, do you want to hold on, or does that about do it for you?
Oh, that's fine. I'll talk with you another day.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest, Robbie Thomas. We're on final approach here. That means we only have a few minutes left in the show, and if you have been planning to call, thinking about calling, you've been in urgent and fervent prayer about calling, now is the time. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. The 888 number is toll free. 888-223-4599. That caller, Charles, had a very definite psychic experience when he was a child. But you were saying you think that both of what he was saying and what I was saying both fall into the realm of psychic ability, right?
Yeah, and in one instance, that if one's looking at someone's body language and trying to perceive how they're feeling or what's going on in their mind, they can read that and read into them very quickly.
Let me say this. If you've been trained to do that, you can do that. But let's say you have no training. It still has, if you're tuned into your, I guess you could say, intuition, even though you've had no training in reading body language, it still has an impact on how you feel about that person. And if you pay attention to it, it's probably right.
Absolutely. My very first murder case I was involved in was an individual that I was fascinated by. I just couldn't get over what this person was about. I needed to know more. I seen black all around him and just the way he carried himself. And so I ended up befriending this individual for a short period of time, And knowing the superintendent of the building, we were able to get into his apartment building to sit with him in his apartment, and found out through conversation as he unloaded, he was part of a team of two guys who murdered Mark Campbell. And, you know, I sat there as he felt me up for a wire and told me he was going to kill me. And if I spoke of this, and I remember his girlfriend running around the apartment smoking fiendishly and telling him to shut up and not say anything. And I it was just from that one momentary, you know, looking at the individual, reading them, and wanting to know more. And that's just the sensing of the intuition. And that was the start of my career.
Cool. Well, I've had some, I've told you about some things in my police career that I don't tell in public. And for reasons related to policing. But you and I have talked about some incidents where there's no doubt in my mind that what happened was very much a psychic moment. Where, as Charles said, he suddenly knew there was a piano. He just knew it. And it's not just a feeling that there's a piano. You know there's a piano. And I've had some instances where in the course, usually early in the course of an investigation, where I suddenly knew the solution. I knew it. I knew who the suspect was, even though it was someone I'd never met before. And then it panned out. It turned out that way, and it very definitely a sort of a psychic experience. And that's why I was saying, you know, I don't think it happens just to cops. But I'll tell you, it happens to a lot of cops, and then they won't talk about it. But it happens more than you would imagine, it, folks. It happens to cops. It happens to soldiers. It happens to pilots. I've heard pilots, commercial airline pilots, talk about, you know, they just had a feeling that something wasn't right when they got on the plane. The engines weren't even running yet, so they weren't picking up some kind of sounds or vibrations from the engine that was telling them there was a problem. But they just had that feeling that something wasn't right. And then sure enough, they encountered some in-flight malfunctions that caused them a few hairy moments. And I think that those kinds of things happen to a vast number of people. I don't think it's just a few of us. I think it's probably all of us.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, people who drive down their street in their car and they're just thinking of the song and they start whistling it, all of a sudden it comes on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or they're watching TV and they all of a sudden they just glance over the phone, and not knowing they're just glancing, but they just glance over the phone before it rings and the phone rings.
Yeah.
Intuition.
Mm-hmm. All right, look, we just have a few minutes left. I'm pretty excited about this new TV show that's coming up, and it's going to be a series of shows. It's provided all the negotiations go well, it'll be a series of shows and not just one. But I want to tell you, I'm excited about it, and I'm glad to be a part of it. And you know, I'm very, very reticent about allying myself with psychics for the very reasons you mentioned earlier. There's so many that call themselves psychics and are provably not. I'm very reticent about that. But I have no reservations about being allied with you in this project, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
And I'm glad you're a part of it, too. And you're a great portion and of the program, which is going to give the audience a view of someone who is not just, let's say, skeptical on a certain part of it, but also has the profession of a police officer working hand-in-hand with someone who works with police. And it's going to be beyond paranormal. I call it beyond paranormal because that's what it's going to be. And it's going to raise the bar, not only on the programs that are on TV. We're not just going around saying, who's here? And I'm trying to grab it on a recording, and can you give us your name? It's like, you know, the Cannell case. I'm going to give you the name, and we're going to go after the guy, and we're going to prove that spirit works and talks. And it's amazing. It's a whole new spectrum. It's going to put a different light on all the paranormal ghost shows.
It'll be a whole new genre unto itself, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
And John Ramsey's, who's been a guest on this show, and who owns Ghost Radio in Australia, and they carry our show in Australia and distribute this show in Australia and throughout Asia, he's going to be a part of it as well, and he's a pretty remarkable individual in his own right.
Oh, absolutely. He's got a credentials that are long. You know, it's unbelievable. Director, producer, author, radio host, owner. And not only that, he was part of a major television program over there called The One. And he's got a lot of background in the paranormal for 25-plus years. And we got every aspect, every corner covered that the profession of this show is going to rock.
Absolutely. All right, we've reached the end of the show. Where can people get tickets to Paracon?
They can go to Paracon2009.com. Folks, if you buy two tickets, from now till then, you're going to get an authentic trademark T-shirt of Paracon for free, given to you.
Outstanding. Robbie, stay on the line with me for just a moment. Thanks for being with us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. But please, just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.